Is it okay to hand over despotic power if the despot promises not to use it? Today on Principles and Policies. Hello and welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host today, Chuck Michaelis, Vice Chairman of the Institute for Principled Policy and Executive Director of Camp American. Unfortunately today, Barry Sheets, your usual host, is out with a problem with his throat and his voice, and since he had to be speaking actually with his voice, we decided to give him a rest and do this program on our own today. The fact is that we covet your prayers for his health and his recovery of his voice. Barry's an awfully busy man, and he uses that voice a lot, and he could really use your prayers and the direct intervention of the Lord to bring him back to health on that issue. Well, that being said, let's get back into today's show. One of the things we've been talking to you about over the last couple of months has come to fruition, unfortunately, despite our best efforts. We're talking, of course, about what is called the NDAA, the National Defense Appropriations Act. And when we spoke to you about it earlier, at that time, it was a Senate bill in the United States Senate, and it was S-1867. So if you want to go back and take a look at some of our older programming, you can look for S-1867, and you will find several shows. I may put a link up when this goes up on the website to some of the older shows. And by the way, folks, if you're interested, contact us, and we will be happy to put some of these related shows together on a CD for you. We will be putting some of these together in a compilation on CD and making them available to you. And you can get a hold of us at www.principledpolicy.com. That's www.principledpolicy.com. One word, principled policy. And we will make some of these available. We've had several requests for our show on the Electoral College and some of our discussions on some of these various issues, like the NDAA S-1867. And we'll do that for you. Over the Christmas break, when most people are not really paying close attention and, in fact, are really looking at things like what kind of presents to buy and what kind of food to make for your relatives and, you know, how to deal with all the family issues that always come up when you go someplace or when family comes in for Christmas, all these silly things that go on, and we love our families, but we don't want to spend necessarily huge amounts of time with our extended family because we get on one another's nerves after a while. You know, you get family drops in for a week. So what has gone on is that President Obama has signed legislation that we originally told you about as S-1867. And when he did so, he issued what is called a signing statement. A signing statement is basically a statement issued by the president at the time that he is signing the bill that says essentially he has major problems with the bill. It's been used by Barack Obama to say he's not going to enforce certain parts of it because he doesn't agree with it. Well, here's the problem with that, folks. That's not a constitutional thing to do. That's not permitted by the United States Constitution. What the president is permitted to do by the United States Constitution is veto legislation. He's not permitted to simply say, you know, I don't agree with this part of it, and therefore I'm not going to enforce it. Now, I won't kid you that part of his duty as president is not to enforce unconstitutional law. What I'm saying is that what that should do and what his job to do at first, let's go through the sequence of how this is supposed to work. What Barack Obama should have done, if he disagreed with certain parts of this law, and I don't think for a minute that he disagreed with the parts that he claims he does, I think that's an election year ploy, and the part that he disagreed with was the detention of American citizens and their arrest. I don't think this bothers him that much. I don't see it in the signing statement. The arrest by the military, the use of the military as a police force, I don't think that bothers him all that much. It should bother you. It's been illegal since the 1870s. And in fact, it was not put in the Constitution because it was considered so unbelievable that any president or any Congress would want to use that tactic. And the reason for that is because of the Declaration of Independence, which, you know, we've talked about as being the preamble to the United States Constitution, the real preamble, not the little short one that's in there, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union and all that stuff. You can't really understand the Constitution without understanding the Declaration of Independence, and I've even given a hour and a half lecture on that particular subject. Let's look at a couple of the important tenets in the Declaration of Independence that were directly forbidden by the Constitution and are now being wiped out by this NDAA, and that is, here's one of the complaints in the Declaration of Independence, and this is speaking of King George III, he has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out our substance. Well, that's been going on since the advent of regulatory agencies in the early 1900s, if you hear that Theodore Roosevelt described as a progressive. He was a great advocate of basically what's known as administrative law, and that is a law that's made by administrative agencies, powers handed over by Congress and administrative agencies, and then administer these. They make up their own laws and regulations and administer them as law. So we can't blame the current Congress or the current president for this, since it's been around since about 1904 and possibly before. Here's one, again, speaking of King George, he has affected to render military independent of and superior to the civil power. That is a frightening aspect of this NDAA thing. We are now basically converting, we've been converting our local police into paramilitary agencies now for about the last, 25 years with the advent, maybe perhaps longer, maybe almost 30, with the advent of the war on drugs. Believe me, I'm not sitting here advocating the abolition of drug law. What I'm advocating is the enforcement of drug law by legal constitutional means, and these means are not constitutional. So you can trace a lot of this back to the beginning of the war on drugs. And unfortunately, folks, for those of you who think Ronald Reagan was the greatest thing since sliced bread, these things came in under his regime, and many of us were warning at that time that this was a very dangerous thing. Now, here's another thing, speaking of King George. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. What that mean at that time meant was he was inserting Parliament into the relations between the king and the colonial legislatures. That's not our problem here. What we have here is our federal legislature overriding our state legislatures and basically usurping power that has been reserved by the 10th Amendment to the states and to the people respectively, to themselves. So you can see that what Barack Obama should have done with the NDAA was, of course, veto it. And he did not do that. Instead, he chose, as he did with the extension of the withholding tax cut, he chose to issue a signing statement in which he is taking the position that he can issue his constitutional objections, sign the bill into law, and then say he's not going to enforce it because he doesn't agree ideologically with the law. Well, of course, that makes a mockery of the law. That means the president at that point is above the law, since his job by law is to enforce the laws passed by Congress and signed by a president, not to state which part of the law he agrees with and which he doesn't. Now, he has that chance, as we've stated, with a veto, and he chose not to veto, but he chose to sign. Now, it's interesting what the Associated Press, and I will attach this article that I'm quoting from here, I will attach it to this when we post it to our website. Basically, what it does is, here's a quote from the article. In a statement accompanying his signature, the president chastised some lawmakers for what he contended was their attempts to use the bill to restrict the ability of counterterrorism officials to protect the country. Now, listen to this. This is a quote from Barack Obama, from his signing statement. Moving forward, my administration will interpret and implement the provisions described below in a manner that best preserves the flexibility on which our safety depends and upholds the values on which this country was founded, Obama said in the signing statement. Well, what does that mean? Frankly, that is an open-ended, nebulous statement, and what he is saying here is that he intends to reinterpret the law to do as he sees fit during his administration, meaning that he's actually opened the door to allow his successor to reinterpret that law as he sees fit. This is an attempt to basically act as a benevolent dictator and ignore what the law says or what its intent was when it was passed. Now, the fact that the intent when it was passed was completely evil, and I don't use that phrase lightly. The intent was evil. It's to restrict your personal liberty. It goes on under the idea that you care more for your safety than you do your freedom. And there are people out there who are making that statement. Some people who have declared themselves to be quote unquote conservative, forgetting the fact that liberty always comes with right alongside with risk, and it's a reasonable amount of risk. And therefore, you know, any government which attempts to protect you from all possible risk has to be tyrannical, because basically what it does is it restricts you to the point where you can't do anything dangerous, quote unquote dangerous, what they deem to be dangerous. And of course, since they have the experts, then they know everything that's dangerous and you know nothing. You are an idiot. And therefore, they will restrict you from doing the things that you want to do on the basis that you're endangering yourself or others, which is nonsense. Okay, let's see what the Associated Press says what signing statements do. Signing statements allow presidents to raise constitutional objections to circumvent Congress' intent. During his campaign for the White House, Obama criticized President George W. Bush's use of signing statements and promised to make his application of the tool more transparent. Folks, there is no tool in the Constitution that has anything to do with signing statements. This is an attempt to expand the power of the president into the legislative realm. This is a usurpation of legislative power by the president of the United States, who basically is saying, I don't like parts of this law, and therefore, instead of vetoing it like I do have the power to do, I'm going to restrict it by issuing what amounts to an executive order. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no power of executive order that is in the Constitution either. Originally, the executive order was designed to give the president the ability to keep house within the executive branch. In other words, if he had a secretary of the interior who was failing to do his duty, he could issue an executive order to force that official to do his job. Suddenly, what's happened in over the last, oh gosh, maybe 100 years or so, probably longer than 100 years now, the executive order has morphed into the president deciding that Congress has not done what he wants them to do. So he simply issues an order ordering one of his agencies to do something that he wanted Congress to do. But he believes that since the laws creating the agency and its powers are so nebulous, he can simply order them to do this thing, whatever it may be, raise a tax in the guise of a fee. Anyone who tells you, well, we're raising fees but not taxes, is simply, they're engaging in a sophistry. A fee is a tax. A fee issued by a government agency is a tax. And the fact that the legislatures have very often abrogated the right to regulate those taxes by handing them that power over to an agency doesn't mean it's legal. It just means that you didn't squawk hard enough or loud enough or long enough, and your representatives did not do their job and make sure that power didn't get usurped by that particular government agency. That simply doesn't work, folks. Unfortunately, we are short of time, so what I'm going to have to do is continue this discussion over till tomorrow, because there's a lot more we need to go over on this issue, and this is a very dangerous trend. This is not something that is restricted to party, as we've said. George W. Bush used these signing statements. Bill Clinton used these signing statements, and now Barack Obama used these signing statements. Folks, we need to move our government back to its constitutional constraints. Be with us tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.